From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of February 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Azuzolo of Global Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Foster. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture and the chair of the Senate's Finance Committee do not see eye to eye on free trade with South Korea. The senator says if the pact does not include access for U.S. beef, the deal is dead. And the Federal Reserve is urging China and other nations with large trade surpluses to let their currencies rise in value, at the same time that those with trade deficits, like the United States, work to save more and narrow their national budget shortfalls. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And as we close out our program, we'll check in on the agricultural weather forecast for the weekend right here in the Midwest with Steve Hilberg on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures were lower in the wheat pit, down 28.5 cents today at $8.22 and a quarter. The May at 8.55 and three quarters, 27 and three quarters lower. July at $8.86, down 27 and three quarters, and September at $9.13, 25 cents lower. December futures at $9.28 and a quarter, down 28.5. That for the soft red in Chicago. Hard red in Kansas City lead option, $9.29 and three quarters. Down 23.5 cents for the wheat. Now back from the corn pit, 7.09 and three quarters in Chicago, down 3 cents for the March. May futures at 7.20 and a quarter, 2 and three quarters lower. July corn at 7.24 and a half, down 2 and a quarter. September at 6.59 and a quarter, down 2 and three quarters. And December corn today, $6.12 and a half, 2 and three quarter cents lower there as well. March soybeans at $13.68, down 36 and a half. The May at $13.81, 35 and a half lower. November 1342, down 31.5. Livestock and the live cattle futures have finished into February at $111 and a nickel, 77.5 higher, and the lean hogs at 92.27 and a half, up a dime for the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $86.16 a barrel, down 20 cents on the afternoon. Ethanol at $2.50 and a half, that's a tenth of a cent lower. Natural gas at $3.87, 2 tenths higher. The heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.71 and three tenths, a penny and 9 tenths lower. And the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,388.20 an ounce, down, rather up, $3.50. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,374 now stands just about 57 points higher. The dollar at 77.67. is down 0.32 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area for this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high near 50 degrees for the day. West-northwest winds between 10 and 14 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 21. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 28. North-northwest winds between 6 and 8 miles an hour. On Saturday, we should see partly sunny skies, a high near 45. East-northeast winds between 6 and 8. And on Saturday night, a 40% chance of rain after midnight, mostly cloudy. A low Saturday evening of 36 degrees. East-southeast winds between 8 and 13. They'll gust all the way to 16. Sunday, a 40% chance of rain, mostly cloudy. A high near 53. South-southwest winds between 14 and 17. Gusting to 24. And Sunday night, a 50% chance of rain, mostly cloudy. A low of 38 degrees. On Washington's birthday, Monday, a 50% chance of rain, mostly cloudy, a high near 43. Monday night, a chance of snow. That's right, snow. Mostly cloudy, a low of 21. Tuesday, partly sunny, a high of 33. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 20. Wednesday night, sunny, a high near 41. Wednesday night, cloudy, a low of 29. And on Thursday of next week, partly sunny, a high near 44 degrees. And we'll have more on the ag weather when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, is on the phone line with us today. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Todd.
Let's take a look at the futures markets. It was a seesaw, whipping around kind of week, and I suppose maybe let's start with the weekly charts. What did you see there as we finished up? Anything exciting?
Well, you know, you pointed out before we went on the air, and I didn't even see this. This is how good you guys are at Will Radio, that the outside week lower in the Dease corn, and that means we had a higher high from last week, and then we closed lower for the week and took out last week's lows. That sets us up for a further technical correction, especially if the wheat and the beans can't pull it back together. They were the ones that really, really took the corn down pretty much all week long. It was one of those weeks where you could see corn fighting the downtrend and the selling. And Dease corn only closed down 5 3/4 for the week. November beans down 37 cents. So the trade continues to buy the corn and sell the beans ahead of USDA's updated numbers late next week. I think that's probably the big thing to be watching for, is if we can continue to feed that trend or whether we see a reversal where corn gives up and the beans find some stability or not.
Yeah, so for those who are listening, sometimes we talk about weekly trades on Friday usually, and sometimes we talk about daily. So he gave you the weekly trade and the settlement price difference Friday to Friday.
Right.
The daily on the December contract was down just, what, 2 3/4 today, but was off more than a nickel for the week. And we did post an outside down week in it. And the November beans were down 31.5 in today's trade, 37 for the week. So they gave up most of it today, but they've been all over the place. What's the importance of the difference between the daily and the weekly, and why do you watch both?
Well, the daily is probably going to help you more in terms of the news that comes out during the sessions. But when you go to a weekly chart, that's where you get more into a cycle. That's where you get more into a longer-term bias of several weeks. And that's where it comes back to, as we get closer and closer to planting, the weekly and the monthly charts become more and more important. The other thing, too, what typically tends to happen is that you'll see the daily chart get overbought, and then the weekly chart get overbought, and then the monthly chart get overbought when you're running higher, when you're going higher in price, and those kind of stair step. And so now we've got a situation in many commodities where you've got the daily already overbought, and you note in the beans that the daily chart's actually corrected to where it's actually oversold now after this week,
right.
But you still have the weekly and the monthly extremely overbought. And so that's where you start seeing a divergence like that, then that starts to wake you up to maybe we're not only changing the daily trend, but we're getting ready to change the weekly trend if we can't feed the trend with new fundamentals. And I think the bean chart, the November bean chart, is the one that for the guys that have not sold any new crop beans, you've got a real line in the sand now, Todd, because you have that trend line support drawn off the, I think, November lows, and that's right around the 1375 level. That was support until early this week. We broke that support. Yesterday, we rallied up into November. This is new crop only. Rallied, tested that line, and confirmed it as now resistance. And so if you're looking for a kind of a go, no-go gauge in terms of technicals as to when the market resumes a bullish trend, especially on the daily chart, it would be that trend line now. And that's coming in right around 1375. Because it's uptrending and because it's pretty steep, that number will keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and higher and higher and higher. So you're in a sell right now unless you take that 1375 out on a closing basis to the upside. And I think that's a really nice place to be watching for in case you did make some sales here this week and you wonder, well, when do I come back in? When does the bull come back in and want to take the beans up to the next level? Well, first they got to do that.
So now they're at 1342 for the day as they finished up, and 1375 on this day as your mark, but that number gets bigger as we go through time, right?
Yes, exactly right.
All right. Anything else we need to discuss before I let you go for the day?
The big problem that finishes this week up is not just the beans, but it's also the wheat. We had a nearly identical trade to Tuesday in the wheat. We had friendly micro fundamentals. We had the weaker dollar. We had the turkey purchases and exports. We had Southern Plains weather back on the radar screen, and we had the Chinese weather back on the radar screen. None of these things helped the wheat, and the wheat followed the beans down. The other thing that, you know, you made mention of yesterday while I was on the road traveling to Taylorville was the cotton market. A big, big thing there. We had a lock limit down day in cotton. If that occurs again next week, that will further take away from the fund bullishness in the beans and the wheat, in my opinion. So that's something else. We come back from the holiday, that cotton market's going to be very important as well.
Well, if you were listening to us, or you were headed to Taylorville, Illinois yesterday, you heard me say there were only 9 tickets left. I don't know whether there were any left when Dave got to you this morning or not for our all-day ag outlook. There were 4 after we finished the show. They're all gone now, so we're all done with the all-day ag outlook, and you'll be there on the 8th day of March.
And I'm buying a football suit because I was one of the panelists that was bearish the beans last year, and it was just not, that just didn't happen. And I remember it. I know all the guys are going to remind me, but I'm telling you right now on live radio, I remember, and you can't remind me because I already know.
Okay, and you're bearish again, so we'll see how that, is that right?
For different reasons. You know what? What I made the mistake, the big mistake last year was I didn't appreciate the currencies. I didn't appreciate the emerging markets going up and dragging the Brazilian currency higher, and that really helped the bean market, and we also had the problems with the weather. But we've got the exact opposite situation brewing right now in the beans, so I think it's worth your while at these price levels to really play it different than last year at this stage.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good weekend.
You too. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Friday afternoon. As you just heard, our all-day ag outlook is all sold out. You can still make that call or call us at willag.org if you want to go to the website. And you can reserve a spot on the waiting list, though I suspect that there won't be much happening with that. Thanks to all those 350 folks that called in and filled our Beef House event. Check out the calendar on our website at willag.org. There are a whole lot of things that are coming up that you can go to other than our all-day ag outlook. I'll tell you more about those a bit later in the program. Dave Dickey is here now. He has today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack and Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus exchanged words yesterday over the proposed Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement. Baucus says he won't support a free trade deal with South Korea unless the U.S. gets beef access. Vilsack told Baucus that, quote, an all-or-nothing position makes it extremely difficult to make progress. Baucus replied, I'm not asking for all. I'm just asking for something more than currently exists. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke today urged countries with large trade surpluses like China to let their currencies rise in value to help prevent another global financial crisis. He also called on nations with persistent trade deficits like the U.S. to narrow their budget shortfalls and save more. Bernanke says that both steps would help balance trade and investment flows among countries. The Fed chairman singled out no specific country. This weekend, the flow of capital is a topic for the group of 20 industrialized and emerging nations in Paris. China today raised banks' required reserves by 50 basis points, showing no let-up in a campaign to stamp out inflation. The 5th such increase since October will force the country's biggest lenders to lock up a record amount of their deposits at the central bank. The move by the People's Bank of China follows an acceleration in inflation to 4.9% in the year to January from 4.6% in December. The increase takes effect on February 24th. Grain traders met yesterday with officials at CME Group to review contract changes in wheat futures put in place last summer. Traders say it will take time to determine whether the overhaul ensures cash and futures prices converge ahead of expiration of futures contracts. Commodity Futures Trading Commission member Michael Dunn last week at the Commodity Markets Council's annual conference said the variable storage rate had apparently fixed the convergence problem for the time being. Campbell Soup Company reported lower quarterly profits and cut its full-year forecast, hurt by declining U.S. soup sales. Campbell, the world's largest soup maker, said net income was $239 million, or 71 cents a share, in the fiscal second quarter ending on January 30th, down from $259 million, or 74 cents a share a year earlier. Campbell says it expects 2011 earnings per share to fall between 1 and 3%. U.S. soup sales fell 4% in the quarter. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, you did it. You sold us out. We're done. We're closed. The all-day ag outlook, 350 tickets out the door. Thank you so much, and we'll see you the 8th day of March. If you didn't get one of them and you still want to hear from our ag outlook panels, no need to worry. We have plenty of other options coming up for you, not as big, but just as good. On the 23rd day of February, that's next week, on Wednesday evening in New Ross, Indiana, at the United Methodist Church, Chuck Shelby, Jackie Vakes, and Lee Goss will be on hand. Check that out on our calendar at willag.org. On the 25th day of February, this one's not in our calendar, and you'll need to go to the Illinois Soybean Association site to pre-register, but you'll get a meal, a free one, in fact, at the I Hotel next Friday. I'll be there all day for the Illinois Soybean Association's Research Day, your chance to see what the researchers here on this campus are doing for you with your soybean checkoff dollars. And a live Commodity Week program later in the afternoon. Dan Zwicker will be there, and Bill Mayer and Pete Manhart. At the noon hour, Daryl Good will speak. And to kick off the morning, Bruce Sherrick from the farm management team upstairs right here in Mumford Hall will talk to you about crop insurance. Bruce goes back and forth to Washington, D.C. a whole lot with the RMA to discuss those numbers, and he'll have your best inside track on what to do with crop insurance as we move into that purchase time, which starts, well, March the 1st. That's February the 25th at the I Hotel. Pre-register for that event at the Illinois Soybean Association website. And then on March the 2nd, that's the following week, I'll be in Macon County with Gary Schnitke, also on crop insurance, Paul Cooley, Jackie Bakes, and Kirk Kimmel at the U of I's Extension Center there in Macon County. That's on the Farm Progress Show site. You can find all the details on those events on our website at willag.org. If you didn't get a ticket for the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, there are plenty of options left for you. Now up next, you know the price of corn, other commodities too, has gone up rapidly. Most often this happens, as you know, in a short crop year. Drought and flood can really take a toll. This year, that's somewhat the case, but it is really demand for corn that has driven the market higher. U.S. farmers brought in their third largest corn crop ever last fall. It was a big one, but demand has been even bigger. That, along with many other factors, has caused the price of corn to move sharply higher. And it appears, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good, demand is not going to shrink away anytime soon. It's led by the ethanol industry.
Really, the rapid rate of consumption has been in the ethanol market so far this year. For the first 5 months, we were running about 15% ahead of last year's pace, when the USDA had been projecting a year-over-year increase of about 7%. In recent weeks, that pace of increase has slowed somewhat, but we're still running, even in the latest week, 8% above last year in terms of weekly ethanol production. So we're beginning to slow a little bit, but we've got to really keep that pace coming down if we're going to not run out of corn by the end of the year. What's happening now, I think, however, is the export market, which has been a little slow, we're now seeing some activity there. And the last 2 weeks, we've seen fairly large export sales of corn in excess of 40 million bushels per week the last 2 weeks. So that market, which has been a little bit sleepy, now seems to be coming to life, just as the ethanol market is slowing a little bit. So overall, our rate of consumption still appears to be a little too high. And I think you're right that prices are going to have to stay high, if not go higher, in order to cool that demand off just a little bit.
That's what the trade calls rationing. It means the price, of corn in this case, must go high enough for some end users to say, it costs too much and we won't buy it. That's not happened yet. If it doesn't happen, then supply might run out. Either way, somebody is not going to be using as much corn as expected eventually. It's now a matter of waiting and watching to see who. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, don't forget about our Commodity Week program. We record at 4:30 on Friday afternoons, posted to our website at willag.org by about 6 p.m. Friday evenings before it ever airs on any radio station. Our guest this week, Rich Feltus. He's with R.J. O'Brien. That's Commodity Week, our weekly look at what's happening in the world of agricultural markets. On the phone line with us this afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
How are the 10 elevators that you manage doing today?
Actually, it's 11.
11?
But if 10 of them are doing well, we'll settle for that.
You added one on me and you didn't tell me about it. That's all right. Well, that's good. The co-op's getting bigger. That's always good to hear. So how are the 11 doing in that case?
Actually, pretty quiet here. It's amazing what down 35, 36 cents on flat price soybeans will do to slow up the phone calls.
Oh, really? They aren't worried enough to call you up, or they already made their sale earlier in the week? Which one?
We have some sales earlier. I was just talking to a guy who's sitting on some old crop beans, and we're trying to decide, what do I do? You know, is it time to panic and bail, or is this another one of the head fakes that we've seen on the way up? And I'm lost on it right
now. Did you
tell him
picking
a top?
Did you tell him picking a top is really hard to do?
Yeah.
It's really, we've got 12 guys and nobody picks a top. Nobody wants to, really. Anyway, when you look at it, what do you think? I don't want you to pick a top, but do you think the bias is at these heights is always to go lower, I suppose, but do you think it will?
So far, well, let's just stick with the basis side because that's a little bit, I'll cop out and go with the easy side. I think we still have some room to go upward on the basis. We're trying to do the transition on soybeans from U.S. exports to South American exports. They're getting rolling down there, but typically there's a couple head fakes before we really get transitioned.
All right, and once that happens, then we'll start to widen the basis out, right?
Well, after we get our processors taken care of, but at least it takes a little bit of pressure off because they're not fighting the export market at the same time.
All right, what are your bids for the day?
We are at $6.93 on nearby corn and $13.48 on soybeans.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. They have 11 elevators that they manage. He is in Ludlow, Illinois.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stewart-peterson.com.
It's National Crab Stuffed Flounder Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1871, Harry Brearley was born. Brearley was an English metallurgist who invented stainless steel in 1912. His invention revolutionized the table cutlery industry. Before then, knives were generally carbon steel, which often showed rust stains after washing. In 1899, Sir Gilbert Roberts was born, a British civil engineer. He pioneered new designs and use of high tensile steel for a number of major bridges. In 1901, Hubert Civil Booth patented the vacuum cleaner. Because of its large size, he mounted the machine on a horse carriage with a long hose to reach inside a house and he offered commercial cleaning services. Among his first jobs, cleaning the blue carpet in Westminster Abbey for Edward VII's coronation. And in 1930, at the St. Louis International Air Exposition, it was reported that Nellie J flew in an airplane for the first time. What makes that unique is that Nellie was a cow. As the story goes, she was milked in the air, the milk bottled, sealed, and then dropped by parachute as the plane flew over the exposition. It was reported that Charles Lindbergh received a glass of the sky milk. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Steve Hilberg is on the phone line with us now to take a look at the weather forecast for the weekend across the Midwest. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it is just a gorgeous day here in Urbana-Champaign. The sun is out, and it's nice and warm.
Yeah, it's actually sun's out just about everywhere. A few clouds lingering over far southern Illinois, but that's pretty much it. Temperatures are generally in the low to mid-50s. We did have a cold front go through last night, so we're not seeing some of the 60-degree readings we saw around the state yesterday. But we have a lot more sun, and it's, like you said, it's very nice outside today.
I wish you could tell me that's the end of the snow, but I bet it's not.
No, not quite, and it's a little early yet to be calling it quits. We've had some pretty significant snowfalls in March in the past, so we have to always keep an eye on that. But looks like next week's going to be a pretty active week weather-wise. It won't be quite as quiet and benign as this week's been with the warm weather and really very little rain. We had a few sprinkles this week in northern and central Illinois, but that's pretty much about it. But we'll have another front going through this weekend, and then a little wave of low pressure rides along that early in the week. We'll get some showers probably in here on Sunday and early Monday, and then this wave comes across and brings rain and then probably some rain changing to snow for central and southern Illinois, maybe some little light snow north. The good thing about this time of year, though, is even if you get some snow, it doesn't last very long.
It doesn't last, and it looks like we have maybe one evening next week where we get really pretty cool down, what, around 20 on Tuesday night?
Yeah, Tuesday night, the high is going to be right over us, actually Tuesday during the day, and it'll last until the evening as it moves east, so that'll be a cool night. And actually, even Tuesday morning probably be a little chilly, but then we'll get into southerly winds again ahead of the next system, which looks like we'll probably could get another good dose of precipitation by Friday of next week. That right now looks like it'd be mostly rain across all of Illinois, but potentially some good downpours. It's early really to be pinpointing that, but with the ground saturated and the recent snow melt, it's something to keep an eye on because it might cause some of the rivers and streams to rise even further.
Ground is saturated, but that doesn't mean we've come back all the way from depleted soil moisture levels. Have you been watching those?
Yeah, not much happens during the winter because
right.
The ground's frozen. So as things are continue to thaw out here, we'll be keeping a closer eye on that. But yeah, in general, in Illinois, things are in pretty good shape. And we get a couple of systems like we might get this week, and won't be looking for any problems anytime soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, Todd.
That's Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, funded in part by NOAA, and is based right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Hey, don't forget to join us on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org for our Commodity Week program. You can always listen to it on the radio, too. We record at 4:30 in the afternoons on Friday and then post it to the website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock before it ever airs on a radio station. You can listen to our conversation this week with Rich Feltus. He's at R.J. O'Brien and is their Director of Marketing Research. Have a good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.